Hallelujah. We're going to pull our foundational text out of Isaiah 64, but I want to read a verse in the book of Leviticus, a couple of verses here. But before I do that, you can be finding Isaiah 64, but before I do that, I want to say this. You know, how many times have you went to a campground, you know, maybe after a 3-day weekend or something, you know, one of our federal campgrounds or state campgrounds, whatever. And, you know, and you look down and you look in that fire pit, you know, and in that fire pit, it's full of ashes. But as you look down at all of those ashes, you can look and you can think about the planning and the excitement and the joy that that person, that family planned out before they went and put that wood in that fire pit. You know what I mean? You don't have to see ashes. Now, the reason why I'm saying this, because some of you have been through some trying times. You've been through some fire, and it looks like there's some things that have been burned up. It looks like they're gone. But God, He can take ashes, and they can be a seed, and He can turn them, as that one song says, as the one scripture says, beauty for. So God can do it. So I want you to hold that thought in your mind. And so the Bible says that our God, your God, my God, is a consuming fire. But He doesn't burn up good things. He just makes good things better. Amen? And so every type and shadow in the Old Testament that we have has to do with God's presence. The fire of God, it always represents His presence. And where His presence is, there's power. Well, that's what you and I desire, right? That's what we need. So we're going to talk about that tonight. And we're going to pray a prayer that Isaiah laid out for us, because you and I, we're not going to look at ashes any longer. We're going to pray the fire down. And we want the fire in our life where we can be all that God called us to be. Amen. All right, but let me read this to you. Look, in we're going to go to Isaiah 64 for a text, but I just want you to hear this. In Leviticus 6 and 8, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses." And so this is the Lord talking. And he makes this statement about the altar and about the fire that's supposed to burn on it. In verses 12 and 13, he says, "And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it, and it shall not be put out. And the priest shall bring wood upon it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings." Verse 13, "The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out." Why are we talking about that? Because your altar in the New Testament is your heart. And the Bible says in the New Testament that you are the priest and the priestesses of the Lord. So you've got to keep the fire kindled. Don't let it go out. And God requires the right fire. We don't want to be like the two who brought the polluted, the common fire. They lost their life. So we want to be in the place where we keep this fire stoked, but we do it the way the Lord would have us to. Amen. All right, now let's go to the prayer. Isaiah 64, and this will be our text. Let's read the first four verses. Isaiah 64, verse number 1. Are you there? Amen. "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence." Verse 2, "As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thy adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence." Verse 3, "When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down." Notice this again. "The mountains flowed down at thy presence." The third time he's mentioned, at thy presence, in the face of God, is what it says in the Hebrew. Verse 4, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him." O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Lord, thank you for this word you've given us today, Lord.
Yes.
Let us understand in our minds, Lord, the ability as we stand in your presence, Lord, capability from in our hearts and minds, Lord.
Yes.
And the understanding that in it, boldness.
That's right.
And I thank you for it. In his name, amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you for honoring the word. Thank you for being here tonight, even in this foul weather and everything that's going on. I want to praise God for his protection. He's a good God. We got limbs and trees everywhere and had to drive across Highline Wars to get here, but everything's all right with the house, as far as I know. So praise God. Amen. So let's think about this tonight. You and I were in a place and a position as we read here the prophet Isaiah. He's given the prophecy about what was going to happen in the day and time actually that you and I are living in. This is written 700 years before Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Ghost, being fully God but yet fully man. And so when Jesus came, he fulfilled all the Old Testament law for you and I, and then he gave his life. He shed his blood for us. And when everything was finished, he gave up the ghost, and the grave couldn't hold him, and he ascended on high. But he made a promise to us, and the promise was that when he went away, that he would send another comforter, one just like himself, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Hagios Pneumai, to come and to abide with us forever. And so what you and I have got to be in the place, the position and the place to be and to see is that Jesus has rent the heavens. The heavens are open because Jesus is that open door. And so what we've got to do, we've got to get in that place like Isaiah is prophesying and praying about, where he says, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and that thou wouldest come down." You and I've got to be in the place where we know that Jesus has done come down. Amen. He's talking about before the cross. You and I are living now after the cross. We're living on this side of the tomb and all of those things. And so what Isaiah was talking about, you and I have available to us tonight. The heavens has been opened. The Jesus, he come from the third heaven and he messed up Satan's kingdom in the second heaven. And he come down through our stars and our atmosphere and he come right down to you and I. Amen. And so tonight we're in that place, in that position. But if we're not careful, we go through trials and struggles and troubles and all these things of life. And we get down and out. We get discouraged. Our mind gets heavy. Our bodies get tired. All of these things happen to us. But so we need to be in the place where we let this reality of relationship be more real to us than anything else. Now, notice what he said. He said that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. See, the devil's desire is to put mountains in your life, to put mountains in my life, to put things that would try to block out Jesus Christ and his promise, his provision, his power, his willingness to work in our life. And so we got to be in this situation where we say, "Lord, I've got a hurt in my life. I've got an ache in my heart. I've got maybe some anger, or I got some misunderstanding or some confusion. There's something there that the devil's trying to raise up. I know you've done opened heaven and come down. You've made a way that every mountain should fall out of my life." Come on, we've got mountains, if we'll be honest, of fear. Sometimes, I mean, the devil will, he'll bring fear because we don't know what's going to happen to us or to a loved one or to a situation. Well, you and I don't know, but we can find the mind of God. And we can find his heart. And guess what? He's a God that is a good God, and he has plans and an expected end for every person. So if you and I can find his heart, we can start praying against that mountain. Amen. That's in our loved one, that's in our neighbor, our coworker, our friend, whoever it might be. And because we done know the heavens have been opened. Man. Something's possible for us tonight. So he goes into all of this, but I want you to notice he says, in verse 2, "And when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil." Now, so you and I have got to be in the place where we don't let this fire that is on the altar of our heart, well, we don't let it cool down. We keep it stoked up. In other words, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, as iron sharpeneth the iron, you and I, that's the way we're supposed to do one to another. We're supposed to sharpen the countenance of our friends, our brothers and our sisters. And so whoever you hang around with, whoever I hang around with, is going to have a big impact on how hot the fire is burning. So no matter who else is around us, Jesus lives in you. Amen. So you can always stoke that fire. And so I want us to look at some things I think that'll bless us. Let's look at the water first. Hold your place. We're coming back. But go to the Gospel of John chapter 7. And you've heard this ministered many times. I've preached out of these verses, taught out of these verses. You've studied them. But let's keep them in context of what the Spirit of God's wanting to say to us tonight. The Spirit of God, Don and I were praying about some prayer requests that had been given to us. And as we were praying about those prayer requests, the Spirit of God kept talking about we need to find fresh fire again. Find fresh. So it's not what we know. It's what we're going in, what we're living by. So look at John chapter 7. And let's pick it up in verse 37. And we're talking about what we just read about the fire and the water. And let's see what Jesus has to say about it. John 7:37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. Aren't you glad that Jesus has always got something to say, and he says it where you and I can hear it? Come on, he'll talk above the noise, and he'll talk through the noise, and he has a whisper that is perfect for your hearing, for my hearing, words that we can receive. He stood up and he cried, saying, if any man, any person thirst, let them come unto me and drink. Now, aren't you glad that in this life, you and I, we have a promise here. As you go through dry seasons, as you go through trials, as you go through desert wilderness situations, the Lord has a promise for you and I. He has a provision. So he says, all you got to do, if you're thirsty, it's available. He said, if any person thirsts, let him come unto me, but then drink. So Jesus is willing, but I got to be willing. And I got to have a twofold willingness. The first one is I've got to come to him. And then the second, I've got to be in the place where I'm willing to drink what he gives me. You know, you can tell how thirsty somebody is when you offer them something to drink. They go, no, you got anything else? You know what I'm saying? So Jesus knows, just think about it. He reads our heart. And everything the devil has done to us, to hurt us, to hinder us, everything that we went through that would try to steal our joy or try to rob our peace, Jesus knows that. And he has the drink that will satiate, that will meet that need, and that will put us in a place where we can be at rest in him. That's what I need. I need rest in the Lord that has bought and paid for it. It's mine. It's got my name on it. Amen. So he said, all I've got to do is I've got to be in that place where I come to him and I drink. Now, look what he says. This is an act of faith. Verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So we know what the scripture says. God can't lie. Titus 1:2, Hebrews 6, down about verse 18. God can't lie. So the scripture says that if you and I will believe, if we'll come to Jesus and we'll drink and we'll believe, he said, out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is the rivers that's flowing under the throne of God. This is the rivers that are supplied in and from the Holy Spirit. Now, out of the throne of God is all life. This is where you and I need to start getting excited. We're always looking out here for what we need. But you and I, we need to look in here where the Holy Spirit abides inside of us. Because inside of you is everything that's flowing from the throne of God. But you've got to be thirsty enough. I've got to be thirsty enough. I've got to be humble enough. I've got to be willing to take a drink. And so what we've got to do to be able to be in that place, we've got to keep the fire burning. Because you and I, when we start getting, is there anything more miserable for a Christian, or at least for me, when I get a little cold? I'm the most miserable person because there's nothing satisfies me. Now, you know, nothing tastes good. Nothing sounds good. Nothing feels good. All of those things. It doesn't matter what it is. That negative spirit will always find something wrong with it. Amen. And so we've got to be in that place where we keep this fire burning. And if we're keeping it burning, we're going to be in the place where we're going to see the rivers flowing. See, a negative person never sees the good. They only see the bad. And while we're looking at the bad, the good's right there, but we're not able to reach out and grab it. Now, what's all of this about? Verse 39. But this spake he, this Jesus is talking, spake he of the, capital S, the Holy Spirit, which they that believe, how many believers we got? Come on. They which believe on him should receive. See, I needed these verses of Scripture so desperately. Those 15 years that I was struggling trying to find the Spirit of God and let Him teach me, let Him show me about Jesus and yield to Him. All I've got to do is just take God at His Word. Amen? He said, but this spake He of the Spirit, which they that believe on Him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. But Jesus is glorified. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit's been given. He's here. He's always been here. He moved on the face of the deep in Genesis 1:2. So anyway, I want you to be in that place where he's talking about the water, and he's talking about the fire, and he's talking about how the fire, Isaiah prophesied, that it would boil the water. Come on, it would make the water just what it needs to be. There's, you know, remember we at Hot Springs back in the late 30s, early 40s, President Roosevelt come to those hot springs for treatment for polio. And why? Because there's something about warm, hot water that just that gets all over you. I love to take a hot shower, don't you? And just let it loosen your muscles and the kinks and all of those things. I know that we're supposed to take cold showers, but I like the hot. But anyway, this is what's available for us. It's ours. It's bought and paid for. So this is the water. Go to Matthew chapter 3. Let's look at the fire. Matthew chapter 3. And let's see what, when you mix the fire and the water together, what it can do in your life and for my life. Well, let's see. Now, why did I turn here? Okay, let's read it out of Luke. For some reason, I turned to Luke. This is Luke's version of it. I don't know why I did this, but let's turn to Luke. Luke chapter 3, verse 16. Luke chapter 3, verse 16. Boy, I appreciate you, Brother Jason. Thank you so much. It says, John answered, saying unto them all, this is John the Baptist, he said, I indeed baptize you with water. There's the water, like we were talking about in 7, the water of being baptized on the outside, the water then Jesus is talking about being baptized on the inside. But one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So it's the fire and the water that comes together. And that's what Isaiah's prophesying about. Oh, that you would rend the heavens. Well, he's done that. That you would come down and that the water would boil at the presence of the Lord. Amen. Because of the fire of God. So you and I, we need this burning fire in our life, because even though it looks like something has been burned up, God's going to put it back together. He's going to use it. Now, notice what happens with this fire. Verse 17, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. He will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Now, listen, by the power of the Holy Ghost right now. The Holy Ghost wants you and I to know that if you and I are in the place where we're letting him show us Jesus, where he's we're letting him trouble the waters down in our spirit, and we're stoking the fire by obeying, by yielding, by drawing nigh unto him, where he'll draw nigh unto us. He's going to show us the chaff in your life. Come on, I need the chaff out of my life, don't you? I want the chaff gone. The chaff is the flesh. The chaff is the outside man that is so temporal. But he wants to get you and I in a place where we're walking in the Spirit. We're following the leadership of the Lord. We have that liberty, that freedom, because 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. He wants you to have liberty in every situation of your life. Amen. But so only by the Holy Spirit can you overcome the flesh. Only by the Holy Spirit can I overcome the flesh. But we can. So we've got to let what? We've got to let this reality of the open heaven and the reality of the Spirit of God moving in your life, showing you those waters and helping you stay. See, the altar of God is on fire. If you and I, if we had time, we would go and we would look at the altar of God. But it's on fire. It's holy and it's pure. And so when you and I are stoking the fire of the altar that is in our heart, it's holy and pure. That makes the devil mad because he can't do anything with that because holiness scares the devil. See, your holiness, your righteousness is not of yourself. It's of Jesus. Amen. Isn't that exciting? All right, so we've got this great revelation of this living water that's flowing in us, which is really the Spirit of God coming out of the throne of God, bringing all life. We've got the reality that Jesus Himself is going to be the baptizer. You don't have to do it. I don't have to do it. We don't have to beg Him and twist His arm because it's His desire. It's His desire to baptize you and I with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And so if we're willing, guess what? He's willing. He's willing. And so it's not a one-time deal. He wants you and I to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire over and over and over until the ashes of the chaff, the outside person, is gone. And the only things left is just the Holy Spirit in your spirit, in my spirit, for the glory of God. Amen. Okay, go back to Isaiah 64. Let's see what else we can pull out of these verses of Scripture. Now, notice, I love this right here. He said, let's reread verse 1. It says, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, and that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence." Think about that. The mountains flow down at thy presence. "And when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil," what we just talked about, "to make known thy adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence." So you and I, we got to be in the place and the position where we're so humble to the Lord, because He wants people to know Him through you. He wants you to see that people, they sense the love of God in your life. They sense the power of God in your life. They sense the holiness. And they realize, hey, if God's done something like that for you, He'll do it for me. And all of a sudden, they're in that place where they're willing to let God use you to give them a truth that they couldn't otherwise grasp. Come on, because it was too far. You know what I mean? God to them is somebody that's in the heavens. But you're going to teach them and show them, no, God is somebody that lives inside of every believer. Amen. So let's look at that and see how to make this come to pass. We've got to be humble. Hold your place there and go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. The devil does not, he does not understand humility. See, the devil is the most prideful, and he's the source and the origin of pride. And so he can't understand how you and I could humble ourselves. But if we don't have time, but you look at the first four verses, and let's pick it up in verse 5. 1 Peter 5:5. Are you there? "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder." Aren't you glad that Jesus is our elder brother? Come on, that's what Romans 8 says. So I can submit myself to Him. You can submit yourself to Him. We can submit ourselves to those that the Lord places in our life that would help us grow up, that would help us to mature, that would help us to progress in Him. But notice why. He has an agenda. He has a plan, and it's perfect. "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another." You and I, we've got to see how important it is to draw strength from one another and to know that I need you in your life, you need me in my life, because God is building a family. Amen? And so the world out here, if you look, the ones that need help the most are those who they're either fatherless or motherless or both. They don't understand the concept of family. Come on, because why? Because the devil wants to destroy the ideology, the plan and the will of God for family. Because God, he made Adam and Eve, and they come together as what? One flesh. They started God's family. And then he said, you're going to leave and you're going to cleave. And that family process is supposed to continue on and on and on. And the devil has done a great job in what? In dissolving the family. That's why where we're at in this situation, in this point of time in the world, because the devil doesn't want families. That's why he's bringing all this confusion about people don't know who they are or what they want and all these things, because he does not want a family. Amen? So we got to be in that place, and we got to see, now, wait a minute, I'm submitting myself to my elder brother. And as I submit myself to my elder brother, he's going to lead me and he's going to help me have this spirit of humility to where things are going to fall. Ideology of the enemy, work of the enemy. That's what Isaiah's prophesying about. And he gets better and better. He said, yea, all of you be subject one another and be clothed with humility. So in my robe of righteousness that Jesus, by his shed blood, that has washed me and made me white, that has washed you and made you white, that robe of righteousness, the source of it is humility. Right. Because the Bible says that Jesus humbled himself and became a servant. Right. Though he was the Lord of all, the King of all, though he was rich, he was made, the word in the Greek is, he was made totally bankrupt. He was the fullness of poverty for me, for you. We're talking about spiritually, emotionally, physically. He gave all of that up. He became bankrupt that I might be made rich, that you might be made rich with the blessings of God. And so I want you to know that, come on, hallelujah, with this robe of righteousness that you've got on you, the key of it, the source of it, the seed of it is humility. See, the devil doesn't want you and I to know that we have that in our life. He wants us to think, oh, I got to pray. I got to fight all the time to be humble. No, that's what you're clothed with. All we got to do is learn how to accept it, receive it, take God at his word and believe it. And if you'll believe, what did Jesus say? You shall. Oh, glory. So what we're going to do, we're going to get in a place and a position where that spirit of humility is going to be so powerful that when people say stuff to you to aggravate you, the devil loves to send people that says the right phrase that gets under your skin and my skin, that stirs up old hurts. Amen? But it's going to be that spirit of humility is going to be so great in your life that you're going to be in the spirit, be able to laugh because you're going to know it's the devil. Amen? Isn't that exciting? See, what I don't know is where I'm limited. But when God gives me revelation, I have no limitation. You have no limitation. Amen? All right. Now notice this. Yea, all of you be subject one another and be clothed with humility. The last part of the verse. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. So that's what Isaiah is prophesying about. He said, when we're in the presence of God, remember at his presence three times in those four verses, and that what it says in the Hebrew, in the face of God. We're in the face of God. God's looking at you. You're looking at God. And when we look at God and his very, when you look at the love in the eyes and the face of God, you see Jesus like you never saw him before. And then all of a sudden, just the ability to be what he called you to be. You know, think about it. Remember as a kid, somebody told you you could do something and you didn't think you could do it. But because you believed them, you looked in their eyes and you knew that they believed in you, you were able to do it. God Almighty's looking in your eyes. He's showing you Jesus, His love. And He's saying, you can do it. Amen. You can hold on. You can make a difference. You can bring mountains down out of other people. All right. And it's all because of this grace. Verse 6. So here's what we have to do to be able to receive this grace, to walk in and through this. Humble yourselves. So you've got to make the choice. I've got to make the choice. God won't, you know, that one song that we sang here, that's the only thing I got against that one song, you know, where he says, Lord, humble us. No, that's not scriptural. God's not going to humble you. You've got to do it. I've got to do it. And if we don't do it, it won't get done. Amen. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Now, I want you to get excited about this just for a moment. This is that prophetic message that Isaiah is talking about. When you humble yourself, when I humble myself under the hand of God, in other words, when you're doing what the flesh don't want to do, when you're doing that very battle that's coming against your mind, and all of these reasonings why you shouldn't do that are coming up against you, what you're really doing, you're putting yourself under the shadow of the Most High. You're in His hand. See, the flesh always wants to be over here, just close enough to God that when it knows it's fixing to lose everything, it'll reach out and grab God. But God wants you and I to be in the middle of the palm of His hand. Like John 10:27 says, He wants us to be in the palm of His hand. See, when you're in the center of the palm of His hand, Jesus said, no man could pluck you out. Amen? So, everything that you look like it's going to cost you something, it's really going to be the blessing that you're looking for. It's going to be the answer that you need. And it's because you're under His hand. Because with that same hand where it seems like it's hard on the flesh, your spirit is going to be exalted. And when your spirit is exalted, then all of a sudden your soul, your mind, will, and emotions can be renewed and your body can be brought into subjection and you walk in that place of victory. Amen? Hallelujah. That's what He has for us. Okay, let's go back to Isaiah 64 one more time and we'll pull one more thing from here. And we're going to pray and believe God's going to do a work in our life. Now, look, drop down this time to verse 4, Isaiah 64:4. For since the beginning of the world, now remember, this is before Christ, 700 years. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what He hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. So Isaiah is saying that God has such great things for the church. But because that's on the other side of the cross, all he can do is get a glimpse of it in his spirit. And as he gets a glimpse of it in his spirit, he tries to see it. He tries to hear it. He tries to understand it. But because it's not for his time, he can't really grasp it. Amen. But guess what? It's for our time. Let's go and let's document that. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's see where Paul quotes this verse. And then he tells us what you and I can have tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, in your home study time, look at what he brings up in chapter 1 about who we are in Christ and that power of righteousness that's working in our life. But for sake of time, look down at verse number 9, 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. But as it is written, and that's what we just read out of Isaiah. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart, better translated, into the spirit of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Do you believe God is a God of love? Do you believe God's a God that creates good things? He's got things prepared for you and I that we'll never know about unless we keep this fire burning Come on, and we let the water boil, and we partake of these rivers of living water that's coming out of the throne of God. You have the ability. You've got to stop letting the flesh dominate you and tell you what you can do or can't do. You're looking at the weakest person on the face of the planet right here. Come on. I cannot do one thing that God wants me to do. I have messed up for years and years and years. But now that I've learned how to trust the Lord and He's been so patient, I'm coming out of some things. I'm stepping forward into some things. I'm not letting the flesh dominate me. Amen. Listen, we've got to move on. We've got to be what God called us to be. He has great plans for you and I. Amen. You believe that? So I want you to know that the thing that is hindering you right now, drink from the living water and let the fire boil that water and show you who you really are. When we first started this deal out here, I could not stand to talk to the people. I didn't want to talk to them. I'm sorry. I'm just being honest with you because it's not my comfort zone. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. But then as I started doing that and I started yielding, now I get an anticipation and I get to pray about it at home before we ever get here. And then when I step in it here, it's done prayed for, it's done prayed out, and I'm excited about what's going to happen. We're always talking about what's going to happen. God's waiting. Amen. He's desiring. He's wanting things to happen. And so I want you to know that person that's in your life that you think will never change, God has a prepared statement that's the key to their heart. All you've got to do, all I've got to do is believe. Come on. Drink of that water. Let the fire kindle. Make that water boil. In other words, make that word real to you and loose it. So there's nobody bound that cannot be made free. They just need a word from the Spirit of God through you and I. Amen? Okay. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them. But God hath revealed them. So we're on this side of what Isaiah was prophesying about. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Your best friend should be the Holy Spirit. Thank God for your spouse. Thank God for your neighbor. Thank God for whoever. Maybe your son or daughter. Thank God. That's your best friend in the natural. But your best friend in the spiritual should be the Holy Spirit because He only lifts up Jesus. And that's all He talks about is Jesus. So it amazes me how the Holy Spirit will. You're sitting there just having a normal conversation. And the Spirit of God can show you what this conversation is really about. It's not really about what they're saying. They think it is. And so then, if you have leeway, you can say something. But if you don't, then you know exactly how to pray. You're always in the place of victory. What did we read this morning? But God always gives you the victory through Christ Jesus. Amen? Okay. So He says, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Aren't you glad that we can get a thank God for salvation? Thank God for baptism. Thank God for the milk of the Word. But it's time that we get out of those things and get into the deeper things of God. We need to know that God saved us to be a soul-winning station. God healed us to lay hands on people that they might be healed. God filled us with the Holy Ghost that we might lay hands on other people that they might be filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on, we need to be about the next phase of our walk in the Lord. Amen. Brother David, no doubt how you comforted your family because you stood strong with Jesus and you didn't tuck tail and run. You know what I mean? You stood there. Praise God. That's amazing. And every one of you, you've got more power than you've ever dreamed of. All right, stay with me just for a second. For talking about searching the deep things of God. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now think about it. God's Spirit lives in you. God's Spirit knows everything. You and I have access. Right. Access to the mind of God. Oh, now that's a little deep, huh? I don't know about that. Every Christian has access to the mind of God? You have to show that to me. Let's read it. Drop down to verse 16. And you need to cover this other things. We don't have time. Verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of. Oh, glory. How? By the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
See, right now I've got some family members. They've got some ought against me or whatever. They've got some situations where they need to be saved. They're bound up in some things, and you know, anytime somebody represents the Lord and somebody's not willing to receive or accept Him, they don't want to be around you. So here's what we do: we stoke that fire, and as we stoke that fire, we draw nigh unto God. He draws nigh unto us, and then all of a sudden. The Holy Spirit comes and starts showing us those waters, those words that's coming out of the throne of God. And as you're seeing that person, then you just start praying by the power of the Spirit of God. And those words are the very words that's going to hit their heart. They're going to hit the mark. Amen. They're going to shine a light in the areas that's where they're hurt, where it's dark, where they're bound, all of those things, because you and I have this problem without Christ, but we have this promise with Christ. The mind. See, the Bible says that the Lord's Spirit searches every heart. So He knows that one word that they need. Amen? Well, you have access to that. I have access to that. So we got to be in this place where we say, Lord, I'm not going to look at the ashes, the things that's burned up. I'm going to look at how you see. Moses looked at the burning bush. It wasn't hurt. Amen. There wasn't no ashes there. God's presence wants to burn away the outside, but it wants to hold in the inside. God don't destroy things. God blesses things. We got to present this goodness of God, this gospel to people. Now, in closing, go to Acts chapter 2, and I'll let you go real quick. Let's look at the fire, and let's look at what it does when it's revealed through a believer. You know these verses very well. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place and in one accord. Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Now notice what happens. Verse 3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as what? Fire. There's your fire. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that you would cause the waters to boil, that you would just melt everything else. And like as fire, and it set upon some of them. God don't have no pets. Come on. God loves us, all of His children. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And what was the evidence of being filled? It's just like a tea kettle. You take a tea kettle and you set it on the stove. It's full of water. When it starts to boil, here comes the steam out. And if you, we bought my, Mama one, Donna and I did one time, and it make the most neat whistle you ever heard. See, when the fire meets the water, the Holy Spirit in your life and my life, out's going to come the language.
Yes, right.
The perfect prayer inspired by the Holy Spirit. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. See, it's not... And I've tried to explain this, and it's so hard, I know, to understand if you've not been there, because I've heard other people try to explain different things about the Spirit. But your mind has nothing to do with what the Holy Ghost wants to say. You know, right now I'm using my mind to be able to communicate to you. But if I stop talking just for a second, in my spirit, down in my belly, I hear the Spirit of God talking in tongues. And so I can say whatever the Holy Spirit's saying because He's my source. He's given me utterance. I just stop my natural tongue and I yield to that Spirit that is in my spirit, that precious Holy Ghost, and He takes over my tongue, and those words that I hear down deep in my spirit, they come out my mouth. They come out your mouth. Well, when we're doing that, what are we doing? We're stoking the fire. We're in that place where we're praying what God would have us to pray. But look what happens real quick. I'm sorry. And they were, verse 5, and they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Verse 6, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded because they heard because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all of these Galileans? Are all these which speak Galileans? And now hear we, every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born. In other words, this is diverse kind of tongues, not just tongues and interpretation, or not just this is a special manifestation for the Spirit of God to talk to each person, and it talks right down to their own dialect. In other words, they talk just the way that you talk. And we won't read all this, but this is, it lists all of these nations that were there. And look what it says, drop down to verse 11, the last part of the verse. It says, we do hear them speak in our tongues. We hear them speak in our language, the wonderful works of God. And what happened? Verse 12. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? An opportunity. See, when you and I, when we see that the heavens have been rent and that the Spirit of God has come down because of what Jesus done, and that there's that mountains are meant to fall, and that the waters are to be set on fire by the very power of God, the very altar of God in a person's life, then and you and I are in a place where we're finding revelation. See, the closer you get to the Lord, the more revelation you come. Then that revelation comes out of your life and it touches other people. See, because these 120 were obedient and they went to this upper room. This whole, can you imagine? It was so powerful that 3,000 people get saved. Glorious. And the flesh had nothing to do with it. But it was because there was a boiling of the waters. Amen. And just think, each person there, they didn't know what they was doing. They were just loving God, trusting God, and they spoke under the inspiration. And when they spoke under the inspiration, it caused all of them to glorify God. You can bring glory to God, amen, by just willing to stoke the fire. So let's find fresh fire, amen. So pray this prayer with me right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I take you at your word. The heavens are opened. Your Holy Spirit is here. Cause my belly to flow with those rivers. Let your Spirit stoke my fire, because I'm willing. I'm yielding. And let tonight, where the ashes be turned to beauty, in Jesus' name, amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let it be, Lord. Let it be. We lift our hands to you. Lift your hands to heaven right now, just for a second. Let's worship the Lord and just worship Him and thank Him for who He is and what He's done for you. Lord, we lift our hands to you. We worship you. We thank you for Jesus. We are blood bought, blood washed, and we want everything that you would have for us. We yield to you. We trust you. We ask for your Holy Spirit to have freedom and liberty in our lives, and just to lift up Jesus in every area of our life. Lord, we yield our heart to you. We yield our body to you. We yield our mind to you. But most importantly, Lord, we want you to reveal yourself in and through our very prayer life. Because in those prayers, God Himself by Jesus can be glorified. Truth can come. Lord, let that be. Oh, baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire, and let those rivers of living water come out of our lives like never before. We ask you in Jesus' name. Come on, hallelujah.